This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. And if you're planning your next vacation and you want to make sure your kids are comfortable, make sure you're comfortable, make sure your kids aren't getting worn out and they're crying because they've been walking 18 miles like I did to Terry Weaver, you want to make sure you get yourself a stroller.
In my mind, every time you talk about this stroller situation, Terry is your child.
Kind of, yeah, especially in that scenario. But you can now people say, well, you can rent your strollers at Walt Disney World. Why would I want to rent another stroller when I could just easily drop it off and pick it up? Well, how about getting there? How about the fact of getting into the park? You know how much energy that takes just to go from parking to there or taking or riding the monorail and getting on there? Why don't you have the stroller already set up? There are better strollers. They're easier to store. You don't have to worry about checking them in and checking them out. And often they're better prices and you can book them and they pick them up and drop them off right there at your resort or at your vacation home rental. It is a great option and you can do that at kingdomstrollers.com. Again, kingdomstrollers.com. We love them. I use them all the time. Excellent service. Take a look at them, kingdomstrollers.com. And now,
on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, June 7th. This is episode 1567 of WDW Today. I didn't say what year it was. It's 2017.
Yeah, it is this year. This year is 2017.
Yeah. And today we are going to start a new series, if you like it, or we are going to dive
deep. It may be the end of it today.
Or we're going to go around the world and dive deep once a month for the next however many months it takes. We may have to skip a month here or there, but throughout the next year or so and go through kind of a deep dive into what you can experience at each World Showcase Pavilion. Now, Will and I have been debating this on where to start.
Well, it's not that much of a debate. There's only one place to start. Start in Canada.
Yeah, but that's like saying a band plays their hits first.
I do. My cover band of the Beatles leads with Let It Be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is odd.
It is, but I'm an odd guy.
True. So for you, you want to lead with the Mexico Pavilion.
I do.
So the Mexico Pavilion. No. Mexico Pavilion opened on opening day. It was there.
Oh, Logan's spouting some history facts.
If you want to go, this is what Wikipedia says. The Mexico Pavilion resembles a Mesoamerican pyramid with steps leading to entrance doors. Now, if you may have seen those pyramid steps that are fictional now have to have a sign on it for people not to climb because some drunkards decided to climb it during food and wine, I believe. But you enter through a kind of a small little art gallery, if you will, and kind of you can take a left or a right, but each way takes you to the same point, which is into sort of this big, grand room, probably the most impressive of the World Showcase entrance points, and maybe probably the most impressive of all of the World Showcase pavilions is Mexico.
I would definitely say it has the most architectural, both inside and out, attention to detail. It definitely plays to the history of the architecture in Mexico with kind of the Aztec-style pyramid. But then on the inside, you feel like you're in a cityscape.
Yeah.
So in the evening. The outside also, it's not just the pyramid pavilion part. There is that restaurant across the street too. So you have both sides of the street and that have kind of that atmosphere created.
Yeah, so you have a couple different restaurants. We'll go through those. You can also meet Mexican Donald there, which is Donald Duck in a sombrero.
My favorite.
And a poncho. And that almost happens all day.
That actually, I'll give a asterisk to my no character. That one's just hilarious.
Okay, we should say, speaking of characters, Terry Weaver's not here today.
So
he is in Walt Disney World and he is having fun at his thing and now is going to be touring around the Will's having a coffee delivered.
Yeah, that's what I do. Thank you so much, Daniel.
Thanks for giving me one, Will. Thanks for asking.
Hey, do you want one?
No, I'm good. Okay. I mean, I would have, but you ruined it.
I'm very sorry.
Well, Terry's not here. So inside you walk in and it is like an outdoor cityscape.
Yes.
So if you look up, there's stars. You can see off the distance what appears to be some sort of volcanic thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
But also you have a lot of things in between that. So you have little shops and you also have stuff in the middle where you can buy You can buy sombreros. You can buy some traditional hand-painted Mexican items.
At little kiosk style.
Or like in the middle of a mall.
Right.
But
or in the middle of a busy city is really what it's
supposed to be.
You say mall, I say city.
Well, it just depends. I'm from the burbs, man. That's what it is.
Which mall?
Any
is
mall.
It most like?
Yeah. I do know. No, I don't know.
Exactly.
Like Plaza Mariachi here in Nashville.
Right. So, love Plaza.
Yeah. That sounds very odd. To the left, you will find a couple different stores that sell different trinkets and things related to the Mexico Pavilion. You have whether it's Three Caballeros merchandise or just some general Disney stuff, but you can find sort of all that in the sort of indoor stores there. And then obviously to the right, you have Will's favorite place.
Yes.
Which, and our favorite, the hub of WW Today in some ways.
Yeah, it's Cava del Tequila.
Cava del Tequila, which you can find there. And usually there's a line, but we like going in when there's not a line. You can walk up to the bar. You can order what you want, whether that's a margarita flight, a tequila flight.
That's what I like about it, I think, personally the most, is that it's one of the few places that has a wide variety of options when it comes to the beverage offerings. They have great handcrafted cocktails.
Yeah.
As well. And it's not just like margarita, that's it. You know, like there's the there's like a jalapeno margarita. There's different types of margaritas that they have, as well as the offerings of tequila. It's a very diverse and broad offering of high-end spirits. And whereas you can get in some other pavilions, we'll get to that obviously, like the scotch tasting and things like that.
Yeah.
It's still very limited. This, you can go in and try single offerings. You can get a flight and they have
sit down, have some chips.
Lots of things.
And to clarify, that shop has a name, which I've never really noticed, to be honest. I'm being an honest Disney person. It's Plaza de los Amigos, which obviously sells a lot of things related to the Mexico Pavilion and Three Caballeros. But speaking of the Three Caballeros.
Yes.
We work our way down to, there are technically, I guess, a couple attractions, if you want to put it that way. One is that Agent P's Phineas and Ferb World Tour, where kids can go and play. We're just going to put that to the side.
Right.
That's not, I mean, it's attraction is a very broad word for that, but it's something that's an extra activity you can do. There's KidCot there where you can get your passport stamped and all of that. But one of the few attractions, real attractions, that is in World Showcase, still even to this day, because Frozen replaced an attraction, is the what is now the Grand Fiesta Tour, starring the Three Caballeros, which just had its 10th anniversary as the new version.
And I love that ride.
Yeah.
That's actually a must-do at Epcot for me. I'm going to do that ride.
Rarely a line.
Which is also convenient.
Yeah, air-conditioned.
Because you can go right on. That's one of the main things, especially if it's a really hot day. Why the Mexico Pavilion is such a relief is that if you book it towards there, once you get there, you're real hot.
Yeah.
And you're very excited to get out of the sun. And it's dark. It's cool. It has a boat ride. I love a good boat ride.
Yeah.
And it's a fun – the Grand Fiesta Tour is going through a Grand Fiesta celebration in the streets of different areas of Mexico. And they have the animatronics of the Three Caballeros, and Donald is also in there, which is a fun addition. But like you said, they didn't always have the animatronics.
No, there wasn't even originally Three Caballeros. I mean, for the longest time, it was El Rio de Tiempo, which is the River of Time, from 1982 until just 2007, where they're placed. Now it has a lot of similar vibe.
Right.
They really took a lot of the scenes and made them Donald Duck and the other Caballeros. And that's kind of the storyline they built for it. I'm actually not opposed to this version of the ride. Comparatively, yes, the other one was more traditional Epcot. But if you're going to update it, at least they did it with characters that aren't as well known. I mean, yes, you have Donald, but you have the other two characters, though they were just introduced actually in a new episode of Mickey and the Roadster Racers. You can find a new episode with the Three Caballeros.
Mm-hmm.
It was exciting to see them do something different and something new while keeping that flair. So about 10 years it's been this new Grand Fiesta Tour, and they did just recently, about maybe a year ago or less, added the animatronics back in, so it has a very big finale that's really fun. And it's a great attraction. I think those two alone, going to Cava and going to the Grand Fiesta Tour are well worth just spending your time inside there for a little while.
Right.
And like you said, it's a great place to beat the heat, but it's also just a great place in general. It's the reason we see reservations there still so popular. It's one of the things I love about the boat ride is that you go through the pavilion, you see that volcano, you see people eating. It does feel like a real cool experience. It's almost a Disneylandian experience, mm-hmm. something that they don't really do much. There's not many of those attractions here. I guess you could say that and Living with the Land, where you could see some of other places, or you can see the Pinocchio area when you are leaving. It's a small world, but really integrated into the ride.
Yeah,
is the design. I really love that attraction.
The one kind of caveat I have to this pavilion is that the iconic restaurant in the middle is
the San Angel Inn.
Yes,
restaurant.
It is not my favorite, and we kind of were discussing this earlier. That they almost try too hard to make gourmet traditional dishes, but with more of a gourmet higher end flair. It's pretty pricey for Mexican food.
Yeah,
and now it's
as everything at Disney is.
Right,
and the experience, the ambiance, like you said, the being out there in the open air feeling and all of that is really nice. But I totally agree. I can't tell you last time where I walked away from a meal there and said, that was excellent. I can tell you I've walked away and said, that was an excellent experience.
Yeah.
But the food is always much I would rather have cheap-tasting Mexican food.
Right. And that's kind of the problem is that you have even if it was like just tacos and burritos and things like that that were at Disney premium prices, these are, I don't know. It's just, it's not
that
great.
Not that appealing.
Right.
So if you want a great experience from a visual standpoint, look, my family used to eat there when we were kids almost every trip because it did used to be a little bit more on the traditional Mexican food.
Yeah.
At least they tried to make it nicer, and I don't feel like they've succeeded. Outside, though, so that's kind of the interior.
And I will say one good thing about Cava del Tequila also is that if you do want a snack, you can get chips and salsa, guacamole, queso, things like that. And so you can have a snack there and enjoy the interior. And the problem is, though, it can get very busy and it's a small little space.
Yeah. And there are some other options that were more recently opened. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like the big one. So that's a big experience you're going to have. You're going to the Mexico Pavilion. You're going in there. You're going to have a great time. And that's it. But outside of it, they've built some new options, which is La Hacienda de San Angel, which we've talked about before, which opened back in September of 2010. And I've had a pretty good experience here.
I like that one much better than going to the inn on the inside.
And you often can get reservations easier there. Food's a little cheaper. And they also have a walk-up, which is it's a Cantina de San Angel.
Right.
Which is a lakeside, to quote them, a lakeside counter service location with casual outdoor seating.
Which is kind of cool because you can, if you're at that location, you can look at and see the other World Showcase locations across the lake.
Yeah. Yeah, I know a lot of people stand there, too. I've watched Illuminations many times right from that spot. I haven't done the walk-up, if I'm being honest, so I don't know.
I haven't gotten food from there, no.
Because I've usually, if I'm going to eat Mexican food, I'll go to one of the two restaurants. And though the atmosphere is a little bit more of what you'd expect from a Mexican restaurant, I do think the food is better in Cantina. It still would not be what I would ever choose probably to eat there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mexican food is great if you're for kids and everybody. And I love Mexican food, but I have great Mexican food here. And I prefer to go a little bit more exotic when I'm picking my restaurants or higher end. If I'm going to pay that money, I'll go to La Cellier if I want a great steak. Or I will go over to Morocco and have some food that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
And a little bit different experience. And, that's sort of my thoughts. Mexico Pavilion, not one I necessarily stop in to eat. Unless you really want that experience visually, but I definitely would stop in there for a drink and to experience the attractions and the shopping. It's probably, though I know this is our first one, probably the most impressive of all of the pavilions.
Yeah.
So make sure you stop in, take a look there. And
I do think, though, what you brought up, though, is that the fact that you can have something that's a little bit more kid-friendly maybe, with Mexican food, something maybe they're a little more familiar with when you're doing that. That is key. And so for a lot of people, that may be the best option.
I don't disagree with that at all. And I think that's why Japan is so popular too.
Yes.
I think that's why the American Pavilion, though there's not really a full-on sit-down restaurant, that's why these are popular because people have to have some sort of comfortable food for their kids. Now, if you ask, a lot of places have kid options that even aren't on the menu. But I'm not sure about there. I think even remember the kit options at the San Angel Inn not being that great. I don't remember exactly what they were. I'm sure we could pull it up.
But yeah, remember, I was just looking at La Hacienda, and yeah. I know they have like chicken tacos, steak tacos, grilled chicken, grilled tilapia, cheese quesadilla, like kind of what you'd expect for a – this is at the Hacienda de San.
Yeah. You know.
But so those options are actually pretty on par with what you'd get at a Mexican restaurant here on a kid's menu.
Yeah. And the kid's menu, though, over there is, like I said, still chicken tacos. It looks like making sure I'm at the right one. There's so many options. Grilled mahi-mahi, kid's meal, steak tacos. So, yeah, some of the same stuff. And they also have, which I don't even know if it's on the menu, they have chicken tenders, which most everywhere has. Just feel free to ask. I mean, anything else in the Mexico Pavilion you want to talk about?
I think
it's when I think of Epcot as a kid, that's like the first image that flashes in my head.
Right. And for me, it's still one of the first things I think of.
Right.
And that's, I think, a testament to how well it was done when they decided, you know, like you said, it was their opening
day. Not much has changed.
And that's great.
The stuff has been added, obviously, Cava, and they've changed up the ride. But really, atmospherically, it's identical.
And that's what makes it so quintessentially Epcot to me. And really, I just feel like I could spend quite amount of time in there.
Yeah.
On the inside, getting out of the heat, enjoying some refreshments, doing the ride. You can do the ride twice.
Yeah.
You know, and
usually it's do the ride
fun.
Twice with not much line.
Right.
Fair warning, if you do want to eat there, get your reservations usually pretty early. Though I have you've been pretty successful with getting some stuff. It's a pretty darn popular place to eat.
And if you're going during Food and Wine, getting into La Cava is nearly impossible.
I mean, you'd be waiting there for an hour.
The line was going from the host stand all the way out the front door of the pavilion, which is a long way.
Yeah.
And that was people waiting to go in to Cava.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So you know what we did?
You left.
We left.
Yeah. So you know, be wise of when you're going and what you're doing. Hey, fun fact on here, I didn't even know until I just read it, is that Illuminations is actually controlled from the top of a small technical office atop the building of the Mexico Pavilion.
Well, how about that?
Because it's due to the location and the height of the outdoor structure of the pavilion. Now, this is, if this has is accurate, who knows? At least at one point someone thought that. But it's a terrific place to visit. It's a terrific place to go. It should be your first stop, because who knows if they're going to make it around the whole world showcase. And it's the, like I said, it's sort of the ultimate of them. Now, as I think you'll see, there may be some design structures you like better, but from a fully air conditioned, fully entertaining, because you have areas like in the American Pavilion, where American Adventure, where yes, it has a great lobby and live music, and New Mexico has the mariachi band often.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not a whole lot to look at
right.
until you go to the show. I mean, yes, it's an impressive Americana-looking building, and there's some quotes on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like the Mexico Pavilion, which is you could spend hours in there and enjoy it.
Well, and even you think about like the open-air plaza of the Italy Pavilion.
Right.
It's great. Very, very impressive, the architecture and the way it's done. But with that one, there's no beating the heat.
No.
Like, you are out in the sun blazing on you. So it was a perfect combination of design as well as functionality, and they executed it very well. So that's why it's my favorite and why it's the first.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I think there are some ones I've spent more time in, but we'll get into that and some more hidden gems. The thing with Mexico is not many hidden gems because everything is so popular.
Right.
So I think there is stuff as we go on that you may not know and you may not even know exists because you're not taking that random left turn.
Right.
Mexico, it's all pretty much out there. It's easy to find. And let us know what you think. What are your favorite parts of the Mexico Pavilion? What do your kids think? Do you like it? Maybe you hate it. Let us know. Tweet us at WDW Today Podcast. And you can find us everywhere you want to find us on social medias. But that's a good way to get directly to into our hands if you have a comment.
Yeah. And next month, we'll be talking about Norway.
Yes.
So
very controversial. We'll go through the past, the present, the future of Norway,
mm-hmm.
or as Will likes to call it,
the abomination.
Arundelaway.
That's even better.
We're in Arundelaway.
On a way.
You know what's weird? BLT, my other podcast, 20% of our listeners
are from Norway.
10%, excuse me.
Are from Arundel?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't really know why. The Tim Tracker brings in some Norwegian fans.
The Nihilist.
I once had a girl.
Nihilist.
I heard you.
Yeah.
Are they Norwegian, the Nihilists?
I think so. Aren't they?
In the Big Lebowski?
Yeah, I think they're Norwegian. I could be wrong.
I don't know. All right. Well, should we move on to listener questions?
We should.
Let's bring Terry back in. Hi, Terry.
Hi, guys.
All right. Thanks, Terry. Sorry you were out there. Now you're back from Disney World.
That's right, guys. I'm back from Disney World.
All right. Moving on. Up next, listener questions with Lynn. We'll be right back. All right. As we take a quick break, I want to tell you guys, you still have an opportunity to come with us on the Pod Cruise. About 100 people are coming so far. It's going to be a lot of fun. You got my show, BLT. You got Will's show, the podcast. You got Scare Zone. You got this show, which is going to be repping. We're going to be doing live shows. We're all going to be jumping on each other's shows. It's going to be a lot of fun. We also get to do three beautiful nights on the Norwegian Epic. I leave March 7th from Port Canaveral, so you can pair it up with the Walt Disney World trip. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a great time. The ship is awesome. And we still have a few rooms with a locked-in rate. We're able to, because we had a big rush at the end, we were able to extend it. So we have a few rooms left. If you want that locked-in rate before it goes up, you need to go to podcruise.com. Will's excited because all the drinks are on us.
Yeah, on us.
Adult beverages.
Up to a $15 value.
Yeah, so if it's up to $15, it's on us. Then after that, it's just like a prorated thing. It's like a $20 drink, $5. Not bad. A lot of cool options, a lot of great shows. We're going to have fun. We're going to be recording live shows. We're also just going to be hanging out, enjoying this awesome boat, and having a great time on it. We want to see you guys out there. That's at podcruise.com. All right, and now on to listener questions. With Lynn Testa.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
All right.
Ian Buck wants to know, what's the latest on Marvel properties coming to WDW?
So you do know that we saw the first promotional ad. We have the date now for Guardians of the Galaxy in Disneyland. So the question is, do we have any updates on Marvel other than merchandising? And, well, now we do have, if you include the Guardians, we have a Guardians of the Galaxy meet and greet. So there's that.
Yeah, Star-Lord is doing a meet and greet, right?
Star-Lord and Baby Groot.
Yeah, Baby Groot. You know, the rumors that I heard is that the Mission Space overhaul that's happening this fall is going to be Guardians. I'm not entirely convinced of that. We'll see. I don't know.
They already have created ride footage for it, so it's a good thought that it's going to eventually show up somewhere. I'm excited to see what the new Guardians. I do have to say, little tip. I have seen so far some pictures and videos of this Meet Baby Groot and Meet Star-Lord. There are some men that are portraying the character that is Chris Pratt's character in the film who look at least a little bit like him. Most of them, though, are like 20-year-old kids look nothing like him. And it's like, if I even told my son, like, it would not convince my 4-year-old son that he is meeting Star-Lord. So the Baby Groot looks awesome.
Yeah, Baby Groot does look awesome. Baby Groot kind of reminds me of the Remy.
Yeah.
That used
maybe they
to
just
be
maybe at, they just stripped Remy.
took Remy off the tray.
All right. Who's got the next one from Josh Hopkins? Is it me?
Yeah, it's a fantastic
Josh one. Hopkins said, why do dinosaurs always die running?
Go ahead.
That's it.
That's the question.
Well, Terry screened these comments, why did this make the cut?
Clearly not.
No, I screened it, and it was so absurd that I feel like Josh's question
needs to be answered.
It was just, it fit.
I don't even know the premise. Like, is that true?
It seemed, I guess it's a stereotype that dinosaurs die running when you see them.
We can't perpetuate dinosaur stereotypes on this show.
I don't even. This is
next, Kurt.
I'm guessing. Is he saying because of like the dinosaur ride? Maybe they're like dying as they run. Like, did the animatronics conk out?
Lynn, care to?
No idea.
I'm gonna take the next one because that wasn't fair. This is kind of a similar vein though. Curtis says, any chance the Yeti and Everest will ever?
We have answered this so many times.
Yes.
No.
No. No, not in this lifetime or any.
Doesn't Everest have a refurb coming up?
No,
not to fix that.
I mean, I think no.
It just moved on.
Yeah, it's not even a thing. No one cares.
It kind of isn't. It's kind of moved on.
Everyone's over the dead Yetis.
I mean, I loved the Yeti. It was probably my favorite animatronic they ever built, but it's gone. Nothing you can do about it.
Sorry, Curtis. I'm not taking my anger out on you and your question. I'm taking my anger out on
Terry.
Josh getting his question right. asked because Terry did not screen it.
No, I screened it and left it in intentionally because it was right. the most
that's
absurd
called,
thing
that's
ever.
It's called not screening.
All right. Who's taking? Terry's going to take the next one.
Wesley Ryan Davenport, who I believe is a character on the Frasier show.
He was the watcher in Buffy.
True.
You guys are killing me here. All right.
Angel's on the air tonight.
What's the most important piece of planning advice each of you would give to a Disneylandier who's a first-time WDW visitor? I'm helping a friend plan a WDW trip, and I want to be sure he comprehends the scale of WDW or the advantages of planning dining 180 days, fast passes 60 days out. He's traveling December 30th through January 7th and staying at the All-Star Resort.
First piece of advice, change your trip dates. That's
Lynn,
my
Lynn, what do you think?
What were the dates again?
December 30th through January 7th.
Could be the only time that they go.
I know. Now, towards the end of that week, it used to lighten up, but now it doesn't anymore.
The middle of that week, between like the 2nd and the 5th, I have some hope for him having a good trip because you're pre-marathon, post-December. Although the way Christmas break falls, that's really the week of kids here go back to school the 6th, I believe, or the 5th, somewhere around then.
So it's a much longer.
It's a much longer break. So
Well, that's going to be fun.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of differences between a Disneyland and Disney World. I would just say, be sure that you're asking for what's our number one advice. And I would just say, be sure he understands just the scale difference one of the great things about Disneyland, especially if you do stay on properties, you walk out a door and you're there and it's all there. And there's a ton of e-tickets that are in a very short space. You know, encourage him. Here's my advice. Encourage him to enjoy the differences. And the differences are the resorts, Epcot, kind of the vastness of it.
Animal Kingdom, yeah.
Yeah. And I would encourage him on the 30th to go enjoy fireworks at maybe the Magic Kingdom, if that's where he'd like to. And I would really encourage him, unless he's a brave soul, to not try to maybe go schedule a nice dinner and do pool and, you know, something relaxing on the 31st, maybe watch a bowl game or something.
The fireworks are kind of astounding on New Year's Eve.
Well, it's also the 30th. You could go the 30th.
Yeah, okay, good. Valid point, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I said if you're good. I mean, I know that the scale is ridiculous. And
I've never gone the 30th for it. I've done the New Year's Eve fireworks multiple times. And though I don't go in the parks, I've gone to one of the hotels, resorts, or figured out a place to stand for it. It is unreal. So
it's both ridiculous and redonkulous.
Yes, it does sound ridiculous to me to be like being this dramatic over fireworks, but it is really something that you've never seen before when it comes to fireworks. And you've seen everything before 1,000 times. You've never seen something like this where it's encompassing you from 360 degrees, and it's nuts. And for a few moments, everything is right in the world.
You know, another option,
and then you have to get out.
Maybe go to Ohana. Make reservations at Ohana and then walk out to the beach to see the fireworks.
Yeah. I've watched it from the Grand Floridian, like that little almost island area, twice. I'm not sure if you can still go over there. It's probably gated off. And it was great. It was great every time.
Any other first-timer advice for someone coming to Disneyland?
Your monorail is a mode of transportation, not really an attraction.
Yeah. You also watch the weather. So like, I mean, California is reasonably pleasant throughout the year, but you never know what you're getting.
Yeah. December.
At the end. I mean, it could be 80 degrees, could be 25 degrees or 35 degrees. Yeah, so
pack a hoodie.
Pack appropriately. Yeah.
Yeah. Number one thing, pack a hoodie. All right, let's go move on. Let's try to get through some more of these before we wrap up with Lynn.
All right. From Beverly, we usually go to WDW during spring break. Will the crowds on Columbus Day and weekend be any worse than that?
Columbus Day and no. It'll be October is a little bit busier than it used to be, and Disney's trying to.
I think that's just a general statement, though, about
Disney. No, but not spring break. Yeah, right. Not spring break, no. And again, we talked about the drop in international tourism. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be it'll be worse this year than spring break, no.
And there's a sad addendum to her question. Any idea what crowds are like at SeaWorld on Columbus Day? And I would assume that they're probably like every other day currently, and that's not very crowded.
Yes.
So that's.
But you will be waiting an hour to see penguins. Just what they've done. All right, let's take some of these from Twitter real quick. If it's not too late, any Pandora FastPass touring plan strategy?
Yeah. So get FastPasses for one. If you can, Flight of Passage, they're still available. Walk on to the other one. There'll be plenty of FastPasses available for the other attractions too, I think.
Cool.
And go there first.
So pick the flight.
Yeah, the problem that we're seeing, or the thing that we're trying to figure out, is you want to get there early in the morning to avoid long lines, right? On the other hand, you want to be able to see everything at night. So this weekend when I go, I'll test out some strategies for doing all that stuff.
Cool. All right. Are the current droughts going to affect nighttime fireworks?
Yes, I expect them to start curtailing, especially at the studios. Did you see the news report that said Hollywood studios by themselves were responsible for like 6 brush fires?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Makes sense where you're launching from. So
yeah.
All right. Yeah. For all of you, did you guys see Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and did you like it?
I have not yet.
I haven't seen it yet.
I didn't like the first one.
I love the first one, and I very much enjoyed the second one. So it's not as good as the first one, but it's pretty darn close. All right. For last question, what's Lynn hearing in regards to nighttime parades at Magic Kingdom? Something we feel like we also answer a lot. But any current updates?
I had heard that there was a chance at Paint the Night, but I haven't heard anything coming down the pike for...
It's been very quiet.
Months. Yeah, it's been very quiet. And I think, again, part of this is they want people to go to the Animal Kingdom at night. So not putting a parade in the Magic Kingdom not only accomplishes that, but it saves the company money. And I know they've got the new Happily Ever After and everything coming. But there's no need to provide more and more things at the other parks when you want people to go see Pandora at night.
All right. Well, hope you enjoyed that. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor for today, Kingdom Strollers. If you are going to Orlando and you've got kids, you need to get one of these. Because even if your kid's like 6 and you're like, man, he can walk, you have no idea what these days are like. I know my friend Bart Scott, he just went through this with his kid. He realized that if he had rented that stroller, he would have had such a better time, even with your big kids. And look, they don't want to get exhausted too. Most of them are pretty cool about saying, yeah, I'll ride.
Also, you'll get an awesome forearm workout the whole time.
Yeah. Solid.
Yeah.
And yes, it's a great experience. You know what to do. KingdomStrollers.com. Pod Cruise. I want to see you there. Will wants to see you there. Terry, I believe, would like to see you there as well. I'm just going to put words in his mouth. And, man, we are going to have a blast. It's just going to be so much fun. Please come out with us. It's right now, all it is $100 deposit for 2 people to go. It's fully refundable, too. So if you want to go and you're not 100% sure, you can lock in your rate right now. That's at podcruise.com. Just fill out the form, and someone at the cruise will give you a call to finish up your booking. All right, Will, anything else?
That's going to do it for today's show.
I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
That was Terry Weaver and Lynn Testa, and we'll see you on the next show. Yeah.